With his steps, the house filled up with the fragrance of the toilet water that Ursula used to splash on him when he was a child in order to find him in the shadows. In some way impossible to ascertain, after so many years of absence, José Arcadio was still an autumnal child, terribly sad and solitary. He went directly to his mother's bedroom, where Aureliano had boiled mercury for 4 months in his grandfather's grandfather's water pipe to conserve the body according to Melquiades' formula. José Arcadio did not ask him any questions. He kissed the corpse on the forehead and withdrew from under her skirt the pocket of casing which contained 3 as yet unused pessaries and the key to her cabinet. He did everything with direct and decisive movements, in contrast to his languid look. From the cabinet he took a small Damascene chest with the family crest, and found on the inside, which was perfumed with sandalwood, the long letter in which Fernanda unburdened her heart of the numerous truths that she had hidden from him. He read it standing up, avidly but without anxiety, and at the 3rd page he stopped and examined Aureliano with a look of second recognition. "So," he said with a voice with a touch of razor in it, "you're the bastard. I'm Aureliano Buendía." "Go to your room," José Arcadio said. Aureliano went, and did not come out again, even from curiosity, when he heard the sound of the solitary funeral ceremonies. Sometimes, from the kitchen, he would see José Arcadio strolling through the house, smothered by his anxious breathing, and he continued hearing his steps in the ruined bedrooms after midnight. He did not hear his voice for many months, not only because José Arcadio never addressed him, but also because he had no desire for it to happen, or time to think about anything else but the parchments. On Fernanda's death, he had taken out the last little fish and gone to the wise Catalonian's bookstore in search of the books he needed. Nothing he saw along the way interested him, perhaps because he lacked any memories for comparison, and the deserted streets and desolate houses were the same as he had imagined them at a time when he would have given his soul to know them. He had given himself the permission denied by Fernanda, and only once, and for the minimum time necessary. So without pausing, he went along the 11 blocks that separated the house from the narrow street where dreams had been interpreted in other days, and he went panting into the confused and gloomy place where there was barely room to move. More than a bookstore, it looked like a dump for used books, which were placed in disorder on the shelves chewed by termites, in the corners sticky with cobwebs, and even in the spaces that were supposed to serve as passageways. On a long table, also heaped with old books and papers, the proprietor was writing tireless prose in purple letters, somewhat outlandish, and on the loose pages of a school notebook. He had a handsome head of silver hair, which fell down over his forehead like the plume of a cockatoo, and his blue eyes, lively and close-set, revealed the gentleness of a man who had read all of the books. He was wearing short pants and soaking in perspiration, and he did not stop his writing to see who had come in. Aureliano had no difficulty in rescuing the 5 books that he was looking for from that fabulous disorder, because they were exactly where Melquiades had told him they would be. Without saying a word, he handed them, along with a little gold fish, to the wise Catalonian, and the latter examined them, his eyelids contracting like 2 clams. "You must be mad," he said in his own language, shrugging his shoulders, and he handed back to Aureliano the 5 books and the little fish. "You can have them," he said in Spanish. "The last man who read these books must have been Isaac the blind man, so consider well what you're doing." José Arcadio restored Meme's bedroom and had the velvet curtains cleaned and mended along with the damask on the canopy of the vice-regal bed. And he put to use once more the abandoned bathroom, where the cement pool was blackened by a fibrous and rough coating. He restricted his vest pocket empire of worn, exotic clothing, false perfumes, and cheap jewelry to those places. The only thing that seemed to worry him in the rest of the house were the saints on the family altar, which he burned down to ashes one afternoon in a bonfire he lighted in the courtyard. He would sleep until past 11 o'clock. He would go to the bathroom in a shabby robe with golden dragons on it and a pair of slippers with yellow tassels, and there he would officiate at a rite which for its care and length recalled Remedios the Beauty.